to say welcome to the Lori and Julia show here on MyTalk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. Streaming live at MyTalk1071.com. You can also check us on the MyTalk app. Rocco's taking a day off today. I'm Holly filling in for him, Lori and Julia, in the house to get to a very productive day of celebrity gossip.
Holly, thank you so much. Yeah, Rocco, I think, is skiing with the boy.
He is.
Kind of got some fresh snow.
Little Bruno, this morning there was some fresh snow.
I was slip sliding on my way over to Edina to chop off my hair that I spent a year growing out.
And now it's all gone.
Well, it's back to short again.
It's short, long. Short. She's got a short,
my
long.
My short, long pixie.
And I got a brown blonde.
Yeah.
Because
it's winter. Bronde.
It's bronde. It's brown blonde.
Yeah.
I put a lot of dark.
We both wore our hair slump, but Edina, I mean, it was like slip sliding away. It was just like kind of like snowy.
Ice. There's ice.
Yeah.
Well, it got cold after all that rain.
Yeah.
No, I know. But anyway, it's another great day in Minnesota.
I knew that it was probably time to chop off some of my hair when I came home from bowling last week, and Casey pulled my hair and said, "Are you wearing a wig?"
Oh, isn't that funny? Well, your hair was your hair.
I have a lot of hair, and it's big, and I just ended up just clipping it up every day because. I was twirling it. When I get nervous or anxious, I'm a twirler. And when I have long hair, I twirl and twist. Mm-hmm. And I've been twirling and twisting. And there's been so many
not
things.
Not doing ice skating routines.
Just twirling and talking and not talking. And so much to not talk about. Casey and I watched a Best in Show this weekend. Just we hadn't seen it in a long time.
Oh.
And man, that show's funny.
That is so funny. And then you finished what last night?
Oh,
the gentleman's game.
The English game.
Did
you watch that, Holly?
I didn't watch it last night, but it's on the calendar.
Okay.
It's on the agenda.
It's beyond
so
wonderful.
Good.
About the origins of soccer.
Julie and I, and anyone else who's watched it now, and we're not big soccer people, but we know Fergus Sutter and Jimmy Love, and they were soccer players in the 1800s, like 1880s, and people in modern soccer know those names today.
Fergie Sutter and Jimmy Love. Oh, gosh.
And then our beautiful guy, what's his name? Edward Holcroft. Reggae Jean Page, you know, now that we've got two new boyfriends.
You have to watch this show.
Oh, it's so
the English
good.
Game. It was so good. It's on Netflix. That was great. All right, so there is scandal down under because the Australian Open, one of the big four Grand Slam tennis events, was supposed to happen later this month, but they had to push it back because of COVID and everything.
Is this the one my brother is telling me they're doing an NBA bubble type of situation with the players?
Yeah, they did that at the US Open.
Okay.
And were successful with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it in Australia, but Australia has not let people travel to their
island
for a long time. And they have very, 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 very strict rules. So a lot of the players that went there to get ready to play found out when they got there that the charter plane that they were on, someone was positive for COVID. So it's ended up that 72 players.
Right.
Have to be in 14-day quarantines with only 5 hours a day training. And depending on if you're a higher-seeded player or a lower-seeded player, you're staying in different hotels. They decided to make everybody not spread out where all the matches would take place, but just have them in two central areas. And so people are just like, they can't leave their hotel room.
Oh, these whiny athletes. Jeez Louise, we haven't been able to leave our houses. We don't go anywhere. These people need
to just... But they said had they known the rules that if someone would have tested positive on their flight, many of them would have chosen not to go or gone earlier or done something different because it's literally 14 days out and some people aren't going to have a lot of time to train. So they're like hitting against their glass windows in their hotel rooms. One guy is putting a mattress up sideways on his wall, trying to do, things. They're complaining.
The amount of whining from professional athletes has been kind of extraordinary. I mean, people have complained about the food, about the restrictions, the lack of practice time. Djokovic, Novavik, or whatever his name, anti-vaxxer himself, super spreader extraordinary, his list of demands, I was just laughing out loud.
I'm the like, best thing that ever happened last year in the U.S. Open was when he got disqualified. Either you love that tennis player or you hate him. And yeah. I'm not, hate is a strong word.
Right.
I just don't. He's just not warm and fuzzy like Nadal and Roger.
He's hosted multiple super spreader events since this started. He said he would never take the vaccination for COVID.
He did?
He doesn't believe in vaccines, Julia. Ugh. This, you know, is a good thing his but mom inoculated him against measles and everything else when he was a kid.
This is a good scandal, though.
Is it?
It's getting some interest around the Australian Open and Naomi Osaka, they posted a photo on social media with her doing her training today, and it just, all of the players, the have-not players, are just pissed. They're like, quit showing us this.
The Tennis Association is strongly recommending that their athletes, they've been encouraging them.
No, don't post anything on social media.
Uploading social media posts as it's inflaming tensions.
Yeah.
Amongst other players.
Right.
Right.
No, the have-nots.
That's what you mean.
The haves and the have-nots. Oh, yeah. Yes. You know, so anywho.
All right. Well, you keep us up to date on tennis, but hasn't started.
No, it hasn't. It hasn't started.
You know.
So, but we've got, should we play in the club?
Oh, okay.
No.
We're not going to give
it. Okay, never mind.
No, not for this, not for that legend. We're going to play one of our own songs. Jeez Louise, Julia. But it is a legend's birthday. Dolly Parton is 75 today. She's just
She doesn't look, I don't think she's aged in 20 years. Well, she looks better now than I think she did in the 80s, to be quite frank. She looks amazing.
Well, everybody looks better than the 80s because the 80s hair and fashion and makeup was so bad.
I'm so grateful for better chemistry and makeup.
Yeah. I mean, really, I'm kind of grateful that some
girl, though,
I know, but I'm kind of grateful that some of the 80s photos of me no longer exist because I did every makeup trend because I had a girlfriend who worked at Saks at the makeup department. And I would do my eyelids like a peacock, purple and yellow and blues and greens. And I don't think I ever wore the wine colored lipstick.
No,
because my
it doesn't go with our skin color at all.
No, but I did like the extreme cheek things, the fashion. I mean, it just everyone looks better than the 80s. The 80s were a blast. But the fashion was better in the 70s.
Yes, it was.
And it certainly took a downhill trend because, my God, we had, if you were in, there are a lot of people with banging bods when we were covering up. Look at Julia Roberts, wore to the Oscars, that big, huge men's oversized blazer. And it was also Annie Hall-ish.
You know what it was?
It was
a lot of the big suit coats with the padded shoulders, with the
and the frilly socks with our gerbo jeans, and the little tiny pumps. I mean,
I had to throw out a pair of those. Finally,
tragic.
Oh, jabodes.
Oh yeah, jabot. My ex had
a yoke in the front.
They had a yoke in the front. I had a pair forever.
Oh yeah.
And
I saved money to buy them.
Well, of course.
And I got them at a store in
they had that white tag right on the fly.
Calhoun Square, which, by the way,
Benetton was there too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The two big stores. Oh,
boy, is that sad to drive through uptown?
Fiorucci, or what was the Italian store?
Fiorucci,
yeah. That was a big store over there too.
No. Have you been to uptown?
I went to Lakewood Cemetery last weekend. A friend of mine's sister is buried there, and we went there on the way, and I just. It's like
a ghost town.
Ghost town. It's so sad.
Yeah.
Driving through uptown.
Yeah, it really
Everything's
is.
Boarded up and. Ugh.
Yeah, I know. All
and
right.
It's
listen.
Such a great piece of real estate. That area is so great and vibrant and lively, and it can always come back.
Yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm. All right. Listen, we come back. It's our story we can't get enough of. You know who's having an afterglow? Olivia Rodrigo debuted number one on the Billboard charts with Driver's License. We better get it in our lineup, Holly.
I will send that to management.
Yeah, don't you think? It's number one, breaking all the records.
Breakup song. It'll make you cry if you're going through a breakup.
Well, or it'll make you feel good to get in touch with your feelings.
If you aren't.
Yeah, if you're not already. Okay, well, speaking of feeling, tensions were running high last night during the Monday night's episode of The Bachelor as the contestants had to do... Well, we'll let Will Reeves explain, and we'll fill in the blanks.
Okay.
Okay.
Tears and drama dominated the night. Bachelor contestant Sarah continued to steal the show, literally, from fainting at the rose ceremony last week to taking Matt away during the cocktail date, drawing ire from the other women.
Can I steal you for a second?
Getting her even more alone time with Matt.
I opened up a lot about my family and shared some really vulnerable sides to me. And so I think it was a little difficult because you're reminded it's not just you and Matt. It's also you and 30 other women.
Sarah stirred up a tempest on television.
I just wanted to be like the bigger person, let you guys know I'm here and apologize.
But you did it after the fact, and that's you should have come annoying. Like the damage is already done.
I'm so angry. I'm so upset.
I don't want to lose you.
Finally, making the decision to leave the show, her terminally ill father at home.
I've thought about it, and like, I just feel really called to go home. My family.
I really had to think about, you know, what were my priorities in the moment. And for me, it was difficult to be in that environment knowing that I had such heavy things weighing on me back at home. I don't have any regrets.
And with Sarah gone, new competition.
No.
Five more women.
Oh my God.
There are five new girls.
Okay. Nobody. Jinx. There is someone who works as hard as Kris Jenner does, and that's
Kris Harrison.
No, that's the producers on The Bachelor.
They
talked this gal whose dad got ALS and had like literally weeks left to live
to go on the show.
And then talk her into going and
giving her a one-on-one date. She's quite lovely.
During a group date and everything like that. But the thing that I loved the group date and the women really liked it was that, well, first of all, let's appreciate,
we're talking about The Bachelor,
as a society, that Kris Harrison appears to be writing an erotic romance novel.
I thought that's hysterical. Well, you know, he came out with his line of rings.
Right. That makes more sense, kind of, if you want a Kris Harrison.
But I think he's trying to capitalize on the whole package around love.
Okay, but the ladies on this group date, Holly, had to write a paragraph. No, like two paragraphs. Yeah. Of a chapter of an erotic novel.
Ooh.
Oh, and then they had to get up and perform in front of the other ladies and Matt. And it was, they were all scared of doing it, but they all, for the most part, really kind of liked it. And it was actually very funny. It's very, very funny. I would have had a story like that Victoria girl. Yeah, mine would have been pretty dirty because I've read so many. Erotic and bad erotic. I mean, I'm tainted between, shouldn't use the word tainted.
Penthouse pages and
penthouse letters, as well as things like
Lady Chatterley's Love.
Oh. The Sleeping Beauty series by Anne Rice, but she writes under another name.
Oh.
Did anyone start with "There Once Was a Man from Nantucket"?
No, okay. So I wish someone would have.
That's funny. But,
Can you imagine having to do that?
No.
And then writing it? I kind of thought it would be like, I could see why it was kind of fun.
Yeah, exercise. It was something different. It was something different. And I guess back to the Sarah person that we just heard talk about. First of all, Matt, the Bachelor,
is awfully wishy-washy man. He wears great coats, and I like how he looks, but could he be any wishy-washier?
No, he likes everyone, and then one thing hits him, and he's done. I mean, and the Victoria, the lady who's acting as the queen, brought it in the snark last night.
Oh, did she ever?
And I guess what I kind of liked is the one woman that kind of supported Sarah and tried to talk her out of not leaving and said, if you feel like... I felt like there was an adult in the room with this one gal who was like...
But remember how the producers are manipulating this. They don't let anyone know about Sarah's dad. So it just seems like she's a selfish woman trying to go on a group date where there are 10 girls trying to all have time with this guy. And
she needs to interrupt because she's having
crying.
A crisis.
Yeah, but she's crying and saying, you know, she just... that this was triggering her jealousies. Notice how she put that.
Yes.
About being cheated on. I'm like... why are you going on a show where you're going to date a guy with 32 other women if you're an easily...
More importantly, why are you going on a show when your dad is dying of ALS?
But we don't know that until she's created drama. We don't know that for 40 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, that's... right, Holly? That's producer
manipulation. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, absolutely.
I still like it. I still like this show. I don't know why we need five new people. That is bugging me.
This is a new thing. They did this is a new thing, a new storytelling technique to The Bachelor.
I'm not liking it.
Well, the reason they do it is it creates more drama because the people start to get friendly with one another because you spend so much time with each other rather than him. So they are trying. They have some producer, like we watched on our show, Unreal, realized that if you introduce five or six new people, they did this with the last Bachelorette, it will create instant drama. In fact, someone should do Instant Karma redone for instant drama, all Bachelor lyrics.
No kidding. But it really,
but that's what it does.
It did. But I guess
that's next week, and that's good. But this Sarah gal, and you did feel for her, but like they didn't let us know that, and they didn't.
It went on and on and on. I was just like, get it over with.
But because I don't think the girls would have been so mean to her. Maybe Victoria would have been.
Victoria, the queen lady.
But guess who she was dating last February?
Victoria, the queen lady.
No, Sarah. Well, she's really hot.
Well, she, according to some people in my family, believes she's really hot.
Yeah, she was dating G-Eazy. She was the bridge between
Halsey
and Ashley Benson.
Stop.
Well, not Halsey. I forget who G-Eazy was dating.
He was dating Halsey.
Right, but that's like that's a couple years ago. Yeah, he was with somebody else after Halsey.
Okay.
And then he moved on.
Sarah left the club with G-Eazy once back in the before times.
Yeah. So, you know, she's got like, she's not going to have any problems or anything. And they're really, you know, milking all the cruel and malicious women. But they didn't let anybody know about her dad.
Yeah,
so they knew about it. So anyway, that's where, I don't know, you know, it's got my attention, Julia. And I'm working on my erotic novel. Okay.
Get going, honey. We could use some income.
All right. Well, speaking of novelists, we have a novelist.
Yes, we do.
It's a really fun book. The story, the book is called Shipped. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's Tuesday. We're getting productive. So you want a book to get cozy with? We've got one for you. Angie Hockman is joining us, and she just has written just a fun book that was just a great coming of age, is kind of how we describe it, romance. It's called Shipped, and we're so glad that you wrote this book, Angie.
Thank you, and thank you so much for having me on today.
You're absolutely. So, Angie, give everyone the setup for Shipped.
Sure. So, Shipped, it's an enemies to lovers office romance, and it's about a workaholic marketing manager for an adventure cruise line, and she is up for the promotion of her dreams, but so is her nemesis, the remotely working social media manager, and they end up going on one of their company's cruises together. Their boss sends them down there to the Galapagos Islands and tasks them with using the experience to come up with a proposal to boost sales in the region. Best proposal wins the promotion. So she gets on board and she meets her nemesis for the first time. And maybe he's not, you know, as vile as she thought he was. And she discovers that perhaps the line between loathing and liking is, in fact, thinner than a postcard.
Oh, my. And we loved it,
It's such escapism for right now. So we've been having just great days here, Angie.
And we're both in the travel business.
We were in the travel business.
And I always, you know, I have always wondered why there aren't more stories about the exciting world. I mean, of course, now this is a profession that has just taken a hit. But the travel, hospitality industry, I feel like it's ripe, like you could, with stories, you know, the things that the jobs that people have and everything.
Definitely. And I actually do have some experience working in the travel industry as well. So I definitely drew on that in coming up with the idea behind the book, for sure.
I love this book. You know, I was talking with your publicist earlier today in emails, and I'm like, it has been so gray here This mm-hmm. book is such an escape book, fun, romantic comedy. It's up to date. You know, it's modern 2021 because it talks about, you know, social issues, the environment issues, about traveling, about love. About
kind of at that age in your life when you kind of are really, you're so busy and you don't know that you have time for a romance. You're very career driven. We have all these mm-hmm. expectations that all this stuff should be figured out. So I like that coming of age side of the story, too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It was fun to write.
And you know, we've never been
to the Galapagos
ever. But a colleague of ours.
On S Creek, though, remember, you know, Annie and her boyfriend? Did you watch that show, Angie? Poops Creek. We have to call it that on our radio show.
Yes. Oh, no. I love it.
So Annie's boyfriend gets assigned the veterinarian to the Galapagos Island. And, you know, everyone's just telling Annie, you are not a gal that's going to belong in the Galapagos. It's a very distinct destination.
But in mm-hmm. Angie, when you wrote in, you know, after your, you know, at the end of your book, you know, wanted to acknowledge it, that you were struck about ecotourism and about the environment when you went on a cruise to the Galapagos or a trip in 2016. And that kind of was the genesis, because you're an attorney. You've done all these other jobs.
Yeah.
And then here you come out mm-hmm. and you write a novel about it. Tell us kind of about how that just prompted you to decide, I've got to combine kind of philanthropy and travel and writing.
Sure. Yeah. So I started writing several years ago, and Shipped is actually the second book that I finished, but it's the first to get published.
Okay.
And when I sat down to start writing it I started in early 2018, I knew I wanted to try my hand at a romantic comedy. And I had recently finished reading The Hating Game by Sally Thorne and Dating You, Hating You by Christina mm-hmm. Lauren. And I absolutely love enemies to lovers trope. I love office romance. And I thought, well, I think I want to try my hand at writing that kind of story, but I want to put my own spin on it. And like you said, I had traveled to the Galapagos aboard a Lindblad Expedition cruise in 2016 and had just an absolutely life-changing experience. It is such an incredible place. It's so very unique. The wildlife there is unlike anything else you find on Earth. And it really was very transformative and very powerful. And there are, you know, companies in the travel industry that have combined, you know, sort of the philanthropy, you know, aspect with tourism and using travel to make a positive difference. And Lindblad's one of them. So, yes. You know, that was definitely present on board when I was there. So I felt just very inspired by that. And I thought, well, I've never read a novel set in the Galapagos Islands mm-hmm. before. And I thought, well, what a magical place.
Well, I think to set this book. Anyone who reads this wants to go.
Because yes.
I never really knew if I wanted to go there or not. Although when Julia and I worked at Carlson, Lindblad Expeditions was one of our preferred travel partner. Mm-hmm. And they've always been kind of ahead of the curve about ecotourism and raising awareness, because it's expensive mm-hmm. to go to those places. So they know their audience is people who have money could make a difference too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, you know, for sure.
So I think your book is like the Galapagos tourism. They should be happy.
They should be happy with you. No, I know. And
I tried to shine a positive light on it.
Oh, you really did.
When you talk about kind of the hate love thing, you know, it happened in the movie Proposal with Sandra Bullock.
Hello, Bridgerton.
Bridgerton is kind of a hate love thing.
Yes. You got a swoon-worthy novel and a swoon-worthy TV series. You have that in common with Bridgerton.
Well, that's excellent company. I couldn't ask for better.
Your book is just so fun.
Yeah.
I can't thank you enough.
Even the guy in it has a very Bridgerton sounding name, Graham Crawford Collins, because that instantly does conjure up. The name helps with the physical description, which you very nicely wrote for us.
They were both very good looking people, and their tension, the sexual tension, the book was super fun. This is a great book.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much. Okay. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
The book is Shipped, and it comes out in trade paperback. So people, I think, mm-hmm. are loving that for the price and everything. Angie Hockman is the author. Angie, what's your first book that you started on? That is that going to get published now?
No plans as of right now. It was actually a romantic suspense. It won the Romance Writers of America Golden Heart Award in 2019, but it was very, very different.
Okay.
And I decided to pivot genres. I think romantic comedies, they're just so fun. I had such a blast writing Shipped, so, and I'm working on my next romantic comedy right now.
This would be a super fun movie.
Well, no, I was going to say Shonda Rhimes has her Netflix deal. She already knows how to, maybe she is looking forward to 2022 and shooting something in the Galapagos Islands. And she could do this.
Shonda Rhimes, that would be great.
Yeah, just get whatever your pitch is down, you know, for how to describe it. But it would be fun. To just like this, to see this in a movie.
Yes, it would be such a fun movie. And it's just so current with the social media marketing manager and everything that you have in it.
Well, Angie, what do you want to happen? We're going to quit bossing you around with your dream. What do you want to have happen with Shipped?
Well, goodness, you know, today's the release day, so I've just been riding high on that.
Okay, I know, congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah, the early response has been tremendous. We had a lot of folks request to read it early on NetGalley. I've seen a lot of positive reviews come through. It was a Library Reads pick this month, and among some different things, a good reason, most anticipated romance. So I have just been absolutely floored and blown away by the positive response. And at this point, I couldn't ask for more. And now that it's on shelves, I just hope a lot of folks enjoy it and it brings a smile to their face.
Yeah, I think they will because, I mean, really, we read a lot of books for our Lori and Julia book club.
A book a week.
Maybe something like that. But
next week, three books.
It's fun to have a book that, I mean, I love a good serious story or something. But, oh, man, my brain needed this book. Just in that way, like
you.
How I feel about Bridgerton was just a TV show. I needed a confection. Something delicious.
Well, I hope. And hopefully, you know, Shipped, the great thing that the fact that it takes place in the Galapagos and on a cruise, I'm hoping as people read it, they can imagine themselves on the deck of the ship and feel the wind in their hair and the sun on their skin, especially during the cold Midwestern winters.
Right.
So hopefully it transports folks.
We loved it.
Are you bummed that you don't get to go out and be on a book tour? Or are you actually someone who's like, oh, yeah, I can kind of just do it all virtually?
Well, I had been looking forward to doing some in-person events. Mm-hmm. I don't really mind speaking to people. Okay. I used to be a teacher for a little while, so that, I don't get too intimidated, maybe just a little. But it's a bit of a bummer, but I have a virtual event, a virtual launch day event tonight at 7 o'clock that I'm really looking forward to. And getting to connect with folks virtually online has widened the scope of who I can engage with, which is wonderful. So instead of being limited geographically to Ohio, like I'm out of Cleveland, Ohio. It can be all over the country, even all over the world. So that's been a bit of a silver lining there. And once things turn around and the pandemic goes away, hopefully sooner than later. I look forward to getting out there and hopefully meeting some readers.
How do you want? Like, is the best place like to follow you on Twitter or Insta or do Facebook or do you know what I mean? How should people find out like if they're interested in any of your book things?
Yeah, all of the above. You can check out my website. It's www.angiehockman.com. I'm also active on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Okay. We'll post this on Instagram today on our Instagram for the Lori and Julia Book Club, and the audio will be available and everything will be available. We have to ask you, Angie, before you go, what's the last great book that you read?
Ooh, that's a good question. The last great book. Oof. I feel like I've read so many wonderful books lately. A couple months ago, I picked up The Roommate by Rosie Dannon. Spicy, spicy, so delightful. Loved it.
The Ruby?
The Roommate.
Oh, The Roommate.
Okay. The Roommate. Mm-hmm. So that's a romance. And then Today, Tonight, Tomorrow by Rachel Lynn Solomon. And that was a YA romance. And she actually has another book coming out, The X-Talk. And I started reading that, and I love it so far. So that definitely check that out. That's out next week.
Okay. Lori, we were going to have them on. Okay, it's so funny. The book is Shipped. We absolutely love meeting you. Keep writing. Thank you, thank you, thank you for just bringing cheer to us. And you're going to bring it to our listeners. Everyone, pick up Shipped. It's just a fun book by Angie Hockman. We do have two copies of the books to give away today. If you haven't won a book from us lately, give us a buzz. 651-641-1071. Angie.
Thank you.
Thank you so much and best of luck today. And we love getting you on your premiere date.
Oh, and thank you so much for having me again. I appreciate it. It was wonderful chatting with you.
Oh, absolutely. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we've got a celebration for a lady that everyone wants to know more about. We'll be right.
Dolly, what Holly? What Holly Dolly song are you playing?
Dumb Blonde by Dolly Parton.
So good. Thank you. I told Holly it's your choice because remember, what was that game? And your name would be Holly Dolly.
Oh, the Dolly on the Holly or vice versa?
Oh, yeah. No, that was the best name.
Yeah.
We're trying to take a selfie of the book Shift to post to Instagram.
Did it work out?
It did. I think so.
I'm very close to the camera. I'm very close. Lori's far away. I'm holding the camera.
Well, I'm taller. It looks better for me to be behind you.
Mm-hmm. You guys need a selfie stick.
We really do.
Yeah. We really do.
And I'm surprised we don't have one here. I bought one. I'm surprised the station doesn't have one at this point.
Exactly.
Well, there is a Steadicam floating around somewhere, but I don't know. I don't even know what that is.
So listen to me.
We do need that.
Yeah. Okay, so Dolly Parton, legendary music career, over 100 million records sold, with 44 top 10 country songs. Wow. Here's something else to know that Dolly Parton, executive produced, we found this out in 2020, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I didn't know
that. Back in the day, Dolly was born on January 19th. Buffy was born on January 19th, so Dolly is a Slayer.
Wow.
Last year in 2020, she basically saved the whole damn year for us on a consistent basis. Let me lay out the
evidence.
Okay. First of all, yes, the internet went crazy. Do you remember? Probably Holly remembers that about the Buffy thing when we found out she gave $1 million in cash. She's the health hero to the Vanderbilt University Medical School, where Moderna was needed an infusion of cash. They couldn't wait for, and they needed immediate, what do you need?
Right.
Dolly was asked, and they said $1 million. Now, Dolly probably wrote a check, but I would love it if just bags of cash had been pulled up. But, of course, they don't do that.
Just a truck backing up with some coins, like Scrooge McDuck.
She did that. She also... country music, let's just say it's long been politically divided, and she's always been on the right side of history, but she's also famously doesn't, you know, get political, quote unquote. But she did an interview, and she was asked about the Black Lives Matters protests prompted by the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis and Breonna Taylor in Louisville. And I think it was with the Rolling Stone interview. And she said, I understand people having to make. No, because she said it on camera. She said this on camera. But she said, I understand people having to make themselves known and felt and be seen. And of course, Black Lives Matter. Do we think our little white asses are the ones that matter? No. So she said that.
Yep.
She also, you know, has reminded us that she's willing to do Playboy again. And at 75, Playboy hasn't confirmed it, but...
They need Dolly a magazine.
But Dolly makes anything possible.
She's the happiest person.
One of her famous things, if you see someone without a smile, give them yours.
I believe that.
You're a smiler.
I'm a smiler. I like to make people smile.
And she's kind of like, she truly is an ageless beauty in that way. If you don't talk down to yourself about your age, your weight, your looks... That does give you an ageless beauty because it means you're happy from the inside out. And Dolly, she does that just all the time. Plus, she's inspirational. My mom said her scrapbook, big book that was $50 that came out this year at Christmas time is incredibly inspiring. Aww. And we thought we knew everything about Dolly.
I know.
And my mom just said, this is like such a lovely, lovely book because it's so many things we didn't even know. And in Dolly's handwriting and in photos. Then she also brought, look at what she brought in the time of year when we needed it. We had her appearance at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yes, she did.
We had her Netflix musical, Christmas on the Square. And then a holly dolly Christmas happened. I mean, she gave us stuff to even talk about, Jules, with Lori, like her joy.
We want to thank her.
And then she's, you know, a protector of freedom, because last month, President Obama admitted the greatest regret of his presidency on the Colbert Show.
He didn't give her
He didn't give Dolly a Presidential Medal of Freedom because he thought she already had one.
And isn't Tennessee putting up a statue of her in front of the state capitol?
Yes.
They want to.
Yes.
They want to. And anyway, so that, you know, and she's a guardian, you know, angel. Because she, as far as we know, she was said to have saved the life of a 9-year-old boy who was mowed down by a vehicle on the set of Christmas on the Square. She was at the hot chocolate station and they said, go back to your beginning position. There was a vehicle moving and I was walking and somebody grabbed me and pulled me back and I looked up and it was Dolly Parton. This from the 9-year-old kid who told Entertainment Tonight that. So she was she's a miracle. She's a guardian angel. Anyway, and she played an angel in that movie, if you watched it, Christmas in the Square.
I never saw that.
Julia, you could watch it right now. I mean, could I leave?
Can I really just turn it on? Can I turn it on?
But just her voice.
She's
something else.
We've seen her only once.
Only perform. Once.
And Lori and I signed up to go to the Dollywood. She, a couple years ago, was having a competition. If you donated, like...
On that Omaze or that, you know, kind of, that's a fundraising that a lot of celebrities do stuff.
We had a lunch with George Clooney. Yes. We tried to win that at Lake Como. Have we heard the results? Did we not win that?
Yes. I mean, we did not win.
I can't understand why we're not winning these things.
But our friend Neil the Knitter, flight attendant, has been to Dollywood and he said it is a must see.
Oh, really? We need to go.
Because that's an interesting part of the country, too, to go to.
Have you ever been there, Holly? Blue Ridge Mountains or Appalachia? Appalachia.
By the Smoky Mountains?
Yes, Smoky Mountain, Pigeon Forge.
Yeah, I might be getting my geography.
Yeah,
haven't been to that part of the country, but it looks gorgeous.
Yeah, really beautiful. Like a place you'd go, oh, this would be such a great place to be on a motorcycle or, you know, some kind of a cool car.
I have to say our engineers are in the room.
Have they been there?
Yeah, give it a big thumbs up.
Have they been to Dollywood or just that area?
The motorcycle.
My dad has been through there.
My mom went there.
Yes.
With Annie Catherine.
Yes.
They loved it.
But I don't know if they went to Dollywood. Now,
no,
that would
didn't.
Be a fun trip for you and I to
we
take
have
together, reporting live for My Talk from Dollywood.
I think they want us to go.
Could it be like the Oprah and Gail road trip? It's the Lori and Julia road trip to Dollywood?
You know what? If they really want to make us happy as well as all of the My Talk, they will next year, Project Down and Dirty,
it's
Las Vegas.
And a trip.
We work with Sun Country and we take over the whole plane. And people fly with us, and we raise a ton of money,
a wonderful
and all
weekend.
The shows come with, you know, all everybody, you know,
and listeners.
I think that I'm going to have some kind of a I'm going to make people sign something that they're going to...
A waiver,
so that we leave the drama behind here.
Yeah,
yeah.
And just go have fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's
that's,
no
that's
drama.
A big project down in Dirty Dream.
What drama can be had? People are going to be so happy whenever
maybe
this is
maybe we even
over.
Have enough people when we take, you know, two planes.
I love you. I love how you think. Right now, we were looking at hotel rates in Vegas. They're very cheap right now.
No, but I'm just saying. That would be like we'd all be vaccinated, I would think, by next October.
I think so.
All right. We got to go. We'll be back.